Well, welcome to my daily teaching video, coming to you live today from Lyon, France. Having a little coffee out here in Place des Terreaux. Hey, in my teaching videos this week, I'm going to be talking all about developing passion and motivation for the things of God. Now, be honest with me, at times, probably all of us have gone through seasons where we feel we lack passion, maybe we lack motivation concerning the things of God. I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about how passion comes and how it goes, but how to maintain a life where we can stay at a consistent place of passion and motivation in our walk with God. This will really change your life if you put it into place. I'm going to talk about how to stay passionate about worship, how to become motivated and passionate about reading the Bible, about sharing your faith, about many aspects of the Christian life. Really important teaching. Come on this journey with me. I'm going to do four teachings on that this week and then a Q&A. So good to have you here. Let me do a few quick housekeeping things as usual. Firstly, if you're watching this and you're not yet a Christian, man, I'd love to talk to you about Jesus. Drop me a line, my email or contact details are on my website, and I'd love to do a Zoom call with you, meet up in person, or share Jesus with you. Secondly, I want to say a big thank you. Thank you to all of our partners. I have this incredible Holy Ghost bunch of people I call my ministry partners. The people who walk with us, who fellowship with us, who invite us, who support us financially, and most importantly, who pray and fellowship, who share in the koinonia of the gospel. And I have partners all over the world, some for many years, some new ones. And we are believing God to grow that. If you're not yet a partner, I really encourage you to pray about becoming one. There'll be some details wherever you're watching this. And lastly, I want to say thanks to all of the new subscribers to our YouTube channel as well. We are at 728,000 subscribers, and we're believing to go over 1 million by the end of this year. So thank you guys for that. Lots of new things going on, but check out the links below. And lastly, do sign up for our email newsletter. I know that will bless you. Best way of keeping in touch with me. Boom. So let me begin today. If you have a Bible, I encourage you to grab one. I'm going to read some verses in a moment. But I want to, in this first video, get you thinking, give you an overview about this subject of motivation and passion. And frankly, I'm going to use the two words interchangeably. At some level, passion is a state of our soul. Motivation is the driver, the impetus, the force, the thrust that gets us to do something. You know, when we lack motivation, we don't usually act. We don't read our Bible. We don't share our faith. We don't spend time with the Lord. But I'm going to use those two phrases interchangeably and biblically. The word motivation isn't really a word you'll see in the Bible, but it's a word we use often. But passion really is. So let me just share a few introductory thoughts with you today about that. Firstly, I want to begin by saying this. Let me put my sunglasses on right here. You know, I believe that God, the only one true God, is the most passionate being in the entire universe. Let me let that statement sit in your heart for a while and see what you do with it. God is the most passionate being in the universe. Heaven is the least boring place in the universe. Everything in heaven is alive and God is thrilling. Sometimes religion has sold us this nonsensical idea that we have a God who's, you know, like some decrepit old man. He's 300 years old with a, you know, pasty skin and a beard and a little stick, and he's grumpy and he wants to whack everybody on the head, you know, every time they do something naughty and sinful. I tell you, God looks at us. Can I say that? God loves you, but God looks at you and I and goes, you guys are boring. I'm not trying to add to the Bible. My point is God, I think it was C.S. Lewis and said, God looks at all of our passions, our drives, our lusts, our desires, and finds them shallow and cheap and tawdry and empty. It's like he looks at everything the world can offer and goes, is that it? Is that all you guys have got? Is that what you would sell your life for? Do you remember Jacob and Esau? Esau was the inheritor of the blessing of Abraham. In a sense, the most important family on earth should have been Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. God literally changed his name. And God gave Abram his name, Yahweh, Abraham. He took Sarah and made it Sarah. He gave them his name, and God took on the name of Abraham. Throughout all eternity, God will be the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he should have been the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. Why wasn't he the God of Esau? Because Esau sold his birthright. He sold the most incredible blessing that had ever existed on planet Earth to that moment for a bowl of soup, for a bowl of oatmeal, if you will, a bowl of chili, something like that. And I tell you, anything the world offers you in terms of its passion, the things that will fulfill you, is literally like a bowl of soup compared with the glories of the God of this universe. So I want you to understand that, number one, God is a passionate person. Number two, God created us to communicate, to resonate with that passion. You know, I'm a guitarist and I have tuna fish. I have guitar tuners, you know, my guitars, maybe apps in my phone, thing I'll use to tune a guitar with. In the old days, they would have something called a tuning fork, like literally two strips of metal that you would strike a surface and the two pieces would resonate. There would be a vibration between them that would cause a tonality, maybe the key of A or C, whatever, to emit. You take those two things, go boom, and this perfect C or A or G or whatever would come out. Interesting thing though, if you have a tuning fork the other side of the room, once you strike the other one begins to resonate as well. And we were created by God, for God, to walk in communion with God. We were created to resonate with God. We were created for passion with God. You were created for that. That's who God made you to be. And I believe God wants the Christian life. I want to be clear with you. At times the Christian life is going to be difficult. At times the Christian life is going to be challenging. At times the Christian life, you know, you may die for your faith. At times a Christian life is a life of suffering, but it should be a life of glorious passion where you know you are alive. And Satan is the God of boredom. Satan is the God of emptiness. Satan is the God of nothingness. So my goal really in this very first video is to let you have a vision of your life thrilled and fulfilled with Jesus, where you wake up every day going like, wow, like a little kid on Christmas morning. Désolé, je fais un video. Where every day we wake up like a little child on Christmas morning going like, wow, what a glorious, I wonder what Father's going to do today. You know, I was in a church the other day on Sunday, I was speaking in a church and I prayed for some folks afterwards, and I prayed for a lady and she said she was filled with pain, like fibromyalgia pain. She said from the top of her head to the toes hurt. And I said, how long have you been in pain? Now, firstly, I said, what's your pain level, 1 to 10? She said, 11. And I said to this lady, your pain is at 11 right now? She said, yeah, it's nonstop at 11. She said, I've had that same pain level nonstop for the last 25 years. Nothing changes it, no pills, constant pain. I wake up and the first thing I think about is pain. And we prayed for this lady, told that pain to go, and the pain level went down from about a 11 in her, like 11 out of 10, to a 7. We gave glory to God, prayed again, it went down to a, you know, 4, I think it was, then to a 2. And then the pain went completely away. And this lady with a walker, you know, got up completely pain-free. You know, that's what I get excited about. That's what God wants life to be about. The Christian life, is the Christian life a life of duty, a life of obligation? In one sense, yes. Somebody from the outside should look at our life and go, wow, you are disciplined and you're doing this and you're doing that. And yet everything we do should be the result of passion and motivation. You know, it's not hard for two young people who are in love to spend time together, maybe to walk for hours to see each other or to sacrifice time or money. It's not an effort for them to get together and be together. Now, if it becomes an effort in a human relationship, a marriage relationship, what's happened? We've lost some of that passion. We've lost some of that motivation. And I want to lovingly challenge you as I finish this today. Maybe you're watching this and you say, Graham, I can remember a time when nothing was too great for me. I woke up and I thought, wow, Jesus. And I've lost that. Yeah, maybe right now, if you're honest, you may not say this in church, but it's more You're more motivated to watch a TV series than you are to read your Bible. You're more motivated to go on social media than you are to share your faith with people. Maybe you're more motivated to just catch up and go shopping than you are to share your faith with others. I'm not condemning you here. I want to challenge you. God wants to give you that motivation back, and he doesn't do it through guilt. He doesn't do it by condemning you for what you are not experiencing. Rather, he calls you back and he wants to set a fire down in your soul that you can't contain or control. Let me read some verses just as I finish with this here. Yeah. Psalm 40 verse 8 says, "O Lord, I delight to do your will because your word is hidden within my heart." How can we get to the place where we delight to do his will? When we have his word hidden in our heart. Philippians 2:13 says, "It is God who is at work within you." Paul says, God's at work within you. What's he working to do? Two things, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Most of us have heard that verse so many times, we just gloss over it. Paul literally says that God is at work at you to do two things. Number one, to cause you to desire and be passionate about and want to do his will. And then he's at work in you to enable you to do his will. So the law tells me to do something that I don't want to do and I lack the ability to do. The Holy Spirit comes and by grace and works in me. Number one, he causes me to want to do those things. Number two, he gives me the power, the enabling to do those things. One last verse I'll finish with here, and we'll pick up on this one tomorrow. John 4:34, Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." I believe there's a food, there's a bread. I've been in France for a week here now, and I confess every day eating some really amazing French bread, French pastries, French cheese. There's a better food than French food, and that food is to do the will of him who sent you. And that food, you may look at it, you may watch others eating it, but it's sitting in front of you today, and Jesus is saying, take and eat. Hey, I'm going to cover some more practical details as I progress each day of this week, but come on this journey with me. Again, encourage you to share this video, give it a thumbs up, like it, share it wherever you're at. If you are on YouTube, please do hit the subscribe button down there. Drop me a line. I'd love to hear from you. God bless you.